In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today's gospel is very appropriate as we continue our preparation for the birth of our Lord in this coming Christmas feast. And in becoming incarnate as a man, the Son of God was not born into a wealthy family that had great rank and importance, but rather a family that was poor materially. However, they were wealthy spiritually. And in his earthly life, our Lord deliberately chose a life of poverty because as the Son of God, he already possessed everything. And yet, having nothing to give mankind in the way of material riches, our Lord gave us the greatest gift of all, which is the opportunity for eternal life and salvation. So we might ask, why did the rich young ruler of the synagogue ask the Lord what good thing he should do to inherit eternal life? Well, it seems that the Holy Fathers have a view that this young man had mixed motives. St. Cyril of Alexandria says that the rich young man does not ask with a view to learn, for then his question would have been worthy of all praise. But his object was to prove that Christ did not permit them to retain the commandments of Moses, but rather led his disciples and followers into new laws enacted by himself. And so St. Cyril shows how his intention was really to tempt Christ and to discredit him. However, St. John Chrysostom, while recognizing that the rich young man was fond of money and under subjection of his wealth, nevertheless also sees in this rich young man a certain sincerity. And he says, if he had come unto him tempting, he would have not departed sorrowing for what he had heard. This was not at any rate ever the feeling of any of the Pharisees, but they grew fierce when their mouths were stopped. But not so this man, but he goeth away cast down, which is no little sign that not with an evil will he had come unto him, but with one too feeble, and that he did indeed desire life, but was held in subjection by another and most grievous feeling. And I think in a way, St. Paul was similar. You know, when he was still Saul, he thought that he was doing the right thing by persecuting Christ. And I think this rich young man was similar. He was sincere, he just was mistaken. When the Lord answers him that, you know, he knows the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, the rich young man replies, all these have I kept from my youth up. And so we might ask the question, well, why doesn't the Lord then simply say, very well then, you know, since fulfilling the commandments is all that is needed to inherit eternal life and you have achieved this, go in peace. You are already saved. In St. Mark's account, it also says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And St. Nikolai of Limerovich says, why did the Lord love this imperfect young man? Because his legalistic superficiality was not wicked like that of the Pharisees and the scribes, but was naive and well-intentioned. The Lord, however, had to say bitter truths to him to shatter all his illusions about quick and easy salvation. It's very significant that the Lord shows how salvation is not quick and easy like this, as though a legalistic and superficial approach to fulfilling the external commandments of the law would give us eternal life and salvation. And yet, as we look around today in the world, this is what many people think, that all they need to do is simply affirm their belief in Jesus as their personal Savior, and they are already saved without any further effort. So when Jesus says to the rich young man, thou lackest one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now the young man was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And our Lord could see that the rich young man had refrained from evil doing, and yet he was attached to his great wealth, which in reality was the ruler over him. St. Theophylact says that the young man desired to have eternal life along with his wealth. In other words, he wanted to have his cake and eat it too. The Holy Fathers talk about how the Lord says that it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and it's because of the great temptations that can come with riches, that it's tempting to be more concerned with them than with heavenly things, or to become prideful, thinking that riches automatically bestow wisdom and virtue and honor. How many times have we seen some celebrity, for example, who maybe is an actor or singer, and after they've achieved fame and wealth because of their talent, suddenly become self-proclaimed experts in foreign policy or various environmental health or social issues, and began telling people who are the real experts, who have decades of experience and long years of study in these areas, how they should be doing their jobs. There's a, I don't know if you've, how many of you have seen the musical Fiddler on the Roof, but there's a song in there, If I Were a Rich Man, and one of the lines that is actually quite true, he says, because when you're rich, they think you really know. So, when the disciples asked the Lord then, who can be saved? He says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, brothers and sisters, here is the real crux of our situation. We've all heard at one time or another that we can do anything we set our mind to and accomplish great things by our own efforts, therefore. While this may be true on one level, that is, you know, if we study and work hard, we usually can achieve success in our careers and so forth. But this idea is not really true when it comes to our salvation. That is, we cannot save ourselves by our own efforts alone. We must do our part, of course, to always try our best to keep the commandments and follow everything Christ has told us to do, but ultimately, we need God's help as well. And God has provided for us a whole way of life and the grace of the Holy Spirit through His Holy Church, through partaking of His life-giving body and blood in Holy Communion, through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and all the rest. So let us, therefore, offer our lives to Christ and become rather stewards of the resources He has blessed us with to use in His service, that we may one day inherit eternal life. Glory be to our God.